الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، we begin this evening seeking the help and the aid and assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, reading from the great work Umdat al-Ahkam, the chapter Kitab al-Siyam, the chapter with regards to as-siyam, fasting, performing the obligation of fasting the month of Ramadan, and learning the rulings and the laws and limits and the legislative regulations with regards to that, mentioned in this chapter a number of the greatest evidences from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are gathered in this work. And likewise, with regards to the non-obligatory fast, clarifying the details of these affairs. And it's from the blessing and the favor of Allah Azza wa Jalla upon us that we gather together in a house, in a house from the houses of Allah, to study together and to review the deen of Allah and the limits and the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And this is indeed a great favor, especially when much of the people in our society around us, rather much of the people of the earth today, they are lost and preoccupied with the worldly life, and they have no concern or care for learning the limits and the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal and gaining understanding in their religion. And indeed, this is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He wants good for somebody, as has been reported authentically on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the hadith of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan radiyallahu anhuma, man yuridillahu bihi khayran yufaqihhu fi ad-din, that whoever Allah He wants good for, He'll grant him understanding in the religion. He'll grant him understanding in the religion, understanding of the proper creed and proper belief first and foremost, understanding the tawheed and the great right of Allah Azza wa Jal to be worshipped alone with all actions of devotion, from sincerity and from love and humbleness and humility, from trust and reliance and from fear and from hope and true faith. And likewise, all of the actions of worship that are performed outwardly, to learn how to perform that all and direct it all to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, learning His great right, the right of التوحيد. أول واجب على العبيد معرفة الرحمن بالتوحيد, the greatest and the first obligation upon everyone, upon all of the people, is to know Allah, to know Him subhanahu wa ta'ala by way of His tawheed, to know Him by His glory and His majesty, and to know Him by His greatness and His power and authority, and to know Him by His mercy and His kindness, and to know Him by His law and legislation, and to know Him by submitting to Him and worshipping Him and hoping in Him and relying upon Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. But likewise, after that as well, to gain an understanding in the limits of Allah Azza wa Jal and the regulations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that which He has made obligatory, and that which He has made from the fundamentals and foundations of this religion, and that which He has made mandatory upon the people to perform and to abide by. And likewise, learning that which is impermissible and forbidden, to live in this life and to traverse upon a straight path with insight, knowing that which is good in order to partake in that and to enjoy it and to have a good life in that manner. And likewise, knowing that which is evil and that which is foul and that which is no good in order to avoid it and to stay away from it, to avoid the dangers that come along with that and the threat. So this is a great sign that Allah, He wants good for those who gather in the masajid, reading the books of the people of knowledge and studying the verses of Allah Azza wa Jal, and understanding the deen of Allah based upon the Quran and the Sunnah, and the understanding of the Sahaba and the Salaf of this Ummah radiyallahu anhum jami'an. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make that which we study together a benefit for us, and to grant us insight in His religion, to make us from those who have an understanding that is good and that is implemented properly, and that we will be upright and live in a manner that's pleasing to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, until He takes our souls while He's pleased with us. Innahu jawadun kareem. So the author, he says, Kitab al-Siyam, the book of as-Siyam. The people of knowledge, they mention as-Siyam is a masdar from the verb sama yasumu, sum sawman, sawman wa siyaman. And as-Siyam lughatan, it means ad-imsak. In the Arabic language, linguistically, it means ad-imsak, to refrain from something, to stay away from something and to refrain from it. whether it's a statement or an action. And from the examples of that is that which is mentioned in Surah Maryam, whenever Allah, He clarified about the statement of Maryam, whenever she said, إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لِلرَّحْمَنِ سَوْمًا إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لِلرَّحْمَنِ سَوْمًا, that indeed I have pledged an oath to Ar-Rahman, a sawm, a fast. فَلَنْ أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيًا, so I will never speak to a human being today. So this here is an example of the linguistic understanding of the word siyam. She's not talking about a fast, an oath to Ar-Rahman, a fast, yani the legislative fast from the food and the drink that we know of, but rather she is fasting, refraining from speaking to the people. إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لِلرَّحْمَنِ سَوْمًا فَلَنْ أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيًا, so I will never speak to a human being today. Yani meaning that she is yani تُمْسِكُ عَنِ الْكَلَامِ لِلنَّاسِ, that she is refraining to speak to the people. So this is the understanding. Likewise, in the linguistic meaning of a believer, يَسُوم المسلم يَسُومُ عَنِ الْكَذِبِ يَسُومُ عَنِ الْكَذِبِ, I mean, يُمْسِك عَنِ الْكَذِبِ عَنِ الْكَذِبِ, a believer, he will refrain, he will make sawm from lying, meaning he will refrain from that and he will not lie. And likewise, وَيُسُومُ عَنِ الْخِيَانَةِ, and he will also refrain from the actions of betrayal. So the siyam, linguistically, it means al-imsak, mutlaqan, an al-qawli wa an al-fi'l, yani whether it's with regards to action or statement, to refrain. Some of the poets, they have mentioned any of this in the Arabic language likewise, and they have mentioned khayrun siyamun wa khayrun ghayru sa'ima tahta al-ajaji wa ukhra ta'lu kullu juma, khayrun siyamun wa khayrun ghayru sa'ima, khayl yani the steeds of war, khayrun siyamun yani an as-sahil wal haraka. والحركه, يعني that some of the steeds of war, they are siyam, وخير غير صائمة, some of them, they are not making siyam, and some of them are refraining from advancing in the war and moving in the battlefield, and others they are not refraining, meaning others they are تحت العجاج يعني في المعركة, others are under the dust and under the dust and the clouds that are drawn up from the battle and the war, and others they are prepared تعلق لجوما, they're ready for battle. They're waiting and ready for battle. So this is from yani the linguistic meaning. خَيْرٌ سِيَامٌ وَخَيْرٌ غَيْرُ صَائِمًا. Some of them, they're refraining from moving and making the noise or the sound that the steeds of war they make, and others they are not forbidding that, or they're not prohibiting that, rather they're performing that, meaning they're moving in the battle. And they are hastening yani through the battlefield. So this is just an example of the linguistic meaning. To make a dimsak, you need to refrain from something and to avoid it and stay away from it. As for a siyam shar'an, the legislative meaning of fasting is similar. It's similar, it has a similar meaning, but it's more confined or restricted, it's more specific. So the people of Nar, as they mentioned, that as-siyamu istilahan, at-ta'abudu lillahi azza wa jal, at-ta'abudu لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ, it's an action of worship that is performed sincerely and only for the sake of Allah عز وجل. التَّعَبُّدُ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ مِنْ شَخْصٍ مَخْصُوصٍ, from a specific type of person. We'll discuss each one in detail بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. بِالْإِمْسَاكِ, by refraining, عَنِ الْمُفَطِّرَاتِ, on everything that invalidates the fast, يعني including الأكل والشرب والجماع وسائر المفطرات, يعني عَنِ الْمُفَطِّرَاتِ, to refrain from everything that breaks the fast. To refrain from everything that breaks the fast, from the food and from the drink and from the sexual relations and everything else that would invalidate and corrupt the fast. من طلوع الفجر إلى غروب الشمس بالنية. من طلوع الفجر يعني الصادق, from the true fajr, from the rising of the true fajr, يعني the time whenever the prayer comes in, from the rising of the fajr until the setting of the sun. بنية يعني بنية السيام. بِنِيَّةٍ يعني بِنِيَّةَ السِّيَامِ. So therefore, the issue here about the legislative understanding of fasting, it is very beneficial just to understand the likes of these definitions. And much of the rulings that will be mentioned after this will be made clear by understanding this, this definition. First and foremost, السِّيَامِ شَرْعًا التَّعَبُدُ لِلَّهِ, that it's an action of worship that is done seeking the pleasure of Allah, seeking the reward of Allah. It's done for the sake of Allah alone. التعبد لله يعني أن الإنسان يتقرب إلى الله عز وجل. He's seeking to draw near to Allah. He's hoping that his action will be accepted from Allah. He's hoping that he will have a reward from Allah. He's doing it seeking the pleasure and the mercy of Allah. This is why he's doing it. So this is a type of imsak, a type of refraining from the likes of these affairs, but the whole reason why one is doing it is because of sincere faith. So this is a very important point that we must realize and remember, because some people, maybe they may fall into showing off, and then this would not be considered a fast legislatively. And others, maybe they fast, but they're heedless of this foundation and fundamental principle, and they're just going along with the people in the daytime of Ramadan and fasting because their family is fasting or because the people are fasting, and they forget the reality of this affair, and that the person, he's fasting hoping for something. He's leaving his food and drink, which is normally permissible. He's leaving his desires that are normally allowed for him. He's refraining from that, and he's not performing that or getting involved in that for a great reason, and that's because he believes in Allah. That's because he believes in Allah. He believes in the meeting of Allah. He believes in the deen of Allah and the legislation and the law of Allah. He believes it's an obligation that he, if he performs it, he will have a reward with his Lord. He believes that if he were to violate that right, that Allah Azza wa Jalla would take him to account. That Allah Azza wa Jalla would take him to account. So then it's a ta'abudu lillah. It's an action of worship. It's not a custom. It's not a culture. It's not from this country or that country or this society or that society. It's the deen of Allah. Rather, it's a foundation and a pillar of Islam. So therefore, it's an action of worship that must be performed sincerely for the sake of Allah, hoping for His reward. The heart has to be moving while one is fasting. In the same manner, it has to be moving on all of the rest of the actions of worship. It should not be performed with heedlessness, with forgetfulness, or negligence. Rather, with the remembrance of Allah. And this is from the wisdom of the legislation of all of the actions of worship. وَأَقِيمَ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ Allah, He says, and establish the prayer for my remembrance. So the prayer is established to remember Allah. And the zakat is established to remember Allah. And the fasting is established. It's an obligation in order that Allah, He's remembered. And all of the rest of the actions of worship likewise, that are considered means of drawing near to Allah Azza wa Jalla, they're legislated so that Allah, He is remembered. Because whenever a person, he remembers Allah, then he will humble himself. And he will remember the greatness of Allah and the majesty of Allah. And he will remember the command of Allah. And he will remember the meeting of Allah. And he will remember his own weakness likewise and his shortcomings. And he will remember the favors of Allah and the blessing of Allah. And all of the good that he's had in his life, all of his wealth and all of his health and all of the guidance that he's been upon and all of the success he's had in his life to perform actions of worship and to go straight and to turn away from the misguided ways of the people and the society and the ways of deviation and the ways of falsehood and the ways of indecency and foulness and from the vulgar manners and conduct. Allah, He's the one who gives the person success to do that. So to remember Allah, whenever a person, he remembers Allah, he remembers the favors and the bounties of Allah, and he shows thanks, and he'll be grateful, and he'll praise Allah and thank Him. And likewise, whenever a person remembers Allah, he will also remember his own shortcomings and deficiencies with regards to those blessings, and with regards to those favors, and then he will fear Allah. And whenever a person truly fears Allah, he will run to Allah with obedience, and he will turn to Allah with repentance, and he will seek the pleasure of Allah in obedience. And this is from the greatest wisdoms of the legislation of fasting, likewise, to cultivate this in the heart. So it's a ta'abudu lillah. This is the first benefit that we remind ourselves with, that we prepare for the fast of Ramadan to seek the pleasure of Allah. May Allah grant us success to meet Ramadan and to fast for His sake and to stand for His sake and to establish His deen for His sake. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, at-ta'abudu lillah, azza wa jal, min shakhsin maqsus, from a specific individual, yani al-mukallif, yani al-Muslim al-mukallif, from a Muslim who is of the age of puberty and has a sound mind. This is the one who will be fasting. The one who the fast is accepted from him, he is the one who is a Muslim. And he is the one who has a sound mind, and likewise he has reached the age of puberty. This is the one whom it's obligatory upon. But likewise, it will be accepted as well from the one who is a Muslim and he has a sound mind, but he hasn't reached the age of puberty, but he is of the age of tamyiz. It's not an obligation for him, but if he fasted, he would have reward. So this is the person, and this specific type of person. So he will be yani al-Muslim, al-Mukallif. Al-Muslim al-Mukallif. Bil-Imsak. So this is a type of worship, at-ta'abudu lillahi azza wa jal, from this Muslim individual, bil-Imsak. It's a specific type of worship, by refraining. Bil-Imsaki an المفطرات, by refraining from everything that invalidates the fast. And there are a number of fears. The foundations of that is eating and drinking, and likewise having sexual relations. But there are other issues likewise that are included there. Inshallah, we take some of them in detail in the classes to come. So then this is the reality of fasting. That it's an act of worship, that one, he seeks the pleasure and the reward from Allah alone. He'll perform it for the sake of Allah. And the way that it's performed is by refraining from everything that would invalidate his fast and break his fast. From the food and from the drink and from the sexual relations and other than that. From the mufattirat. From the mufattirat. من طلوع الفجر. من طلوع الفجر إلى غروب الشمس. From the rising of the fajr until the setting of the sun. This is the clarification of the time of fasting. This is a clarification of the time of fasting. So the fast must be performed in the proper manner for the sake of Allah. And likewise, a person, he must refrain from all of those affairs that would invalidate and break the fast. And likewise, it must be performed in the proper time. In the proper time. In the time between the rising of the fajr until the setting. Until the setting of the sun. Until the setting of the sun. Biniyya. Biniyatin. And with intention. With an intention. So the people of Nar, as they mentioned, that the intention is two types, niyya nu'ani, niyya nu'ani, niyatu al-ma'muri lahu wa niyatu al-amal, wa niyatu al-amal, that the intention is two types, the intention of who one is performing the action for, and this we discussed in the very first statement, at-ta'abudu lillah, at-ta'abudu lillah, this is niyatu al-ma'muri lahu, this is the one who the action is being performed for, the intention which will identify the one whom the person is performing the action for. So it's an action of worship. It must be performed for the sake of Allah. It must be performed for the sake of Allah. This was discussed in the first statement. At-ta'abudu lillah. This is niyatu al-ma'muri lillah. Yani al-ikhlas lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. That a person, he would do the action for the sake of Allah alone. And hoping for nothing else other than the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal. The second type of intention is niyatu al-niyatu al-amal, the intention of the action itself. So the fasting requires both intentions. The fasting requires both intentions. The first intention, it identifies who the action is for. Why is the person performing the action? What is he hoping and who is he doing it for? Is he doing it for the people? If so, it will not be accepted. If he's doing it for the praise from the people, or for showing off, or for hoping for some worldly gain, if he's doing it because he wants to lose weight, and the likes like this, he's refraining from his food and drink because he wants to lose weight, or he needs to go on a diet because the doctor said if he goes on a diet, it will benefit him in his health, so therefore he refrains from food and drink, and for this reason, then it would not be considered an action of worship. If he did it properly, outwardly, but he's hoping for some worldly gain or praise from the people, it will not be accepted. It has to be for the sake of Allah. And likewise, the person has to have the intention to perform that particular action. If it's an obligatory fast, then he'll identify that. And if it's an obligatory fast, for example, the fast of Ramadan, performing it in the daytime of Ramadan, then he'll have that intention before that day in the nighttime. And if it was an obligatory fast, like making up a fast from Ramadan outside of Ramadan, then he would have the intention for that. And if it was an obligatory fast, like someone who made an oath, then he would have the intention for that. Or if it was a non-obligatory fast, on a specific day, like Al-Ithnain or Al-Khamis, then you have the intention for that. Or if it was a non-obligatory fast, for example, Yom Arafah, or Yom Arafah, or Yom Ashura, then you have the intention for that. Or if it was just a fast from the fast without any specific day to be specified, then he would have that intention like that. But there must be the intention. The intention, it must be present. The intention, it must be present. And he must have the intention to fast. And he must have the intention to perform it for the sake of Allah. So this is the definition of fasting legislatively. التَعَبُّدُ لِلَّهِ التَعَبُّدُ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ مِنْ شَخْصٍ مَقْصُوصٍ بِنِمْسَاكِ عَنِ الْمُفَطِّرَاتِ مِنْ طُلُوعِ الْفَجْرِ إِلَى غُرُوبِ الشَّمْسِ بِنِيَةٍ We'll just see the intention. It has to be for Ramadan before that day, and in the night time. These details, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, they will come in the classes to come. So the virtue of fasting is well known. The virtue of fasting is something that is major. It's a pillar from the pillars of Al-Islam. This has been clarified the obligation of fasting in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, and likewise in the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, there's a consensus with regards to that, the obligation of fasting the month of Ramadan. The obligation of fasting the month of Ramadan, to the extent that if a person were to deny that, then he would disbelieve in this manner, even if he fasted. If he denied the obligation of fasting the month of Ramadan, he said it's a personal decision. If I want to fast, I can fast. If I don't want to fast, I don't have to fast. The people can do whatever they like. It's a free world. This idea right here is disbelief. And a person, he will leave Islam in this manner. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ by consensus of the scholars. By consensus of the scholars, even if he himself fasted. Because this is an issue of creed and belief. We must believe that which is that which Allah has made obligatory to be obligatory, and that which He has made forbidden to be forbidden. These affairs, we must believe in them. And from the greatest of that are the foundations and the pillars of Al-Islam. The pillars of Al-Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in His book, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. O you who believe, O you who believe, and Allah Azza wa Jal here is calling the people by the name of faith, an indication that the believers, they should pay attention to this and realize that Allah is about to mention something very beneficial, whether it's a commandment with some obligations they must perform, or whether if it's with regards to a warning from some prohibitions that they must avoid. In any case, it's something that's very beneficial that Allah is directing this to them specifically, that is something that their faith should call them to perform it properly. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, kutiba alaykum as-siyam. The fasting has been prescribed upon you and made obligatory. Kutiba yani furidha. Faradallahu azza wa jalla alaykum as-siyam. Allah, He has made the fasting obligatory upon you. Kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum, as He has made the fasting obligatory upon those before you. The people of knowledge, they mention a benefit here. This is a clarification of the great benefit. The great benefit, the spiritual benefit and the social benefit, yani the all-encompassing benefit of fasting. The all-encompassing benefit of fasting. That is something that has been an obligation, that it was made an obligation upon this nation and likewise all of the previous nations. And if there are certain actions of worship that because of their benefit, they have been made obligatory upon all of the believers, past and present, from that they're fasting. And that which indicates the great benefit and the virtue and the goodness of fasting is that it was not only obligatory upon us, but likewise upon those nations before us. As for the law and how they fasted, Allah knows best about that. Allah knows best about the manner and the legislation that they were obliged to abide by. Yani, this is something that Allah knows. We have not been informed about that, but we know that it has been made obligatory upon them, and indicating the virtue and the benefit of fasting. Indicating the virtue and the benefit of fasting. As for us, it has been clarified in the sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the laws and the limits and the regulations with regards to fasting. Likewise, this is in reference to the fasting of the month of Ramadan. فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الْشَهْرَ فَلْيَصُومْ. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصمه. So whoever is present in the month of Ramadan, then he must fast. Likewise, in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, from the hadith of Ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما, the well-known narration to all of us, Alhamdulillah, Buniya al-Islamu ala khams, that al-Islam is based upon five, ala khams, yani ala khamsi da'aim, or ala khamsati arkan. It's foundated and based upon five great pillars. Al-Islam, it has been foundated and based upon five great pillars. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, shahadati an la ilaha illallah, to testify, to bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. Wa anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu, and that Muhammad is his slave and messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the first rukun. This is the greatest foundation and fundamental of Al-Islam, which is a foundation for everything after it. It's a foundation in itself and a foundation for every other aspect of Al-Islam. The foundation of the Shahadatan. Likewise, after that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ, and to establish the prayer. وَإِيْتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ, and to perform the zakat. وَحَجِّ الْبَيْتِ, and to make the hajj to the house of Allah azza wa jal. وَصَوْمِ رَمَضَانِ, and to fast the month of Ramadan. So this is a pillar from the pillars of Al-Islam. And this is something that a believer, he will perform, and he, for the sake of Allah, as has preceded, and it's something that is very special. The fasting is an action of worship that's very special. It's very specific. And it's something that it could be difficult to show off. A person, he would have to go out of his way to show off while he's fasting. And he would have to go out of his way, for example, to tell everybody, I'm fasting. Or the likes like this. So it's like a secret that a person he has. It's a secret that a believer he has between him and his Lord. Him and his Lord knows if he's fasting or not. Maybe all of the people see him and he appears to be fasting with the rest of them, but maybe he can go behind doors when no one is home or when no one is looking. And maybe he could easily turn on the faucet, or he could easily grab a drink, or he could easily eat something when no one is looking. But it's something that a believer who would perform diligently and faithfully with belief and faith, knowing that Allah can see him. So it's a great amana from the amanat. From the great amanat, yani the trust that we are entrusted to perform the fast dutifully and to perform the fast faithfully, seeking the reward and the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. Seeking the reward and the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the one who denies it, as we have seen, then he denies the obligation of fasting, then this is major disbelief. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. He would leave Islam in this manner with this foul creed. As for if there was an individual who affirmed the obligation of fasting, he believed that it's obligatory, but he did not fast because of deviation in his desires and his whims, following his desires, following his lust, and he broke his fast intentionally without any excuse, and he did not fast and did not show care for those sacred rites in the day, and those sacred rites in the daytime of Ramadan, and he broke his fast intentionally, then this is a major sin. Then this is a major sin, and it is lesser than disbelief. It is major sin, lesser than disbelief. But this person here, he's on a bad path, and he's on a very foul way. And he, as we've seen, that this is from the pillars of Islam. So by performing the fast of Ramadan, a person, he's completing his deen. He's completing his religion. He's fulfilling and establishing the religion of Islam in his life by establishing the five daily prayers. And also if he has wealth, by establishing that zakat and paying that to those who deserve it in the manner that is prescribed. And likewise, whenever the fast comes in the month of Ramadan comes, to perform that dutifully, he's establishing Islam. His Islam is being established. The deen is being set upright in his life. He's performing his obligations. And this is a great means to have the favor and the blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal. So by turning away from that and leaving that, and it's a pillar from the pillars of Islam, he is having a great deficiency in his religion, and he's under a great threat. But the point now is to realize that although it is something major, it is lesser than major disbelief. And the person who believed in the obligation of fasting, but he did not fast, he did not leave Islam. He did not leave Islam, although he's on a bad way. Although he's on a bad way. He's on a bad way. So the fasting, it has many benefits. It has many benefits. From the greatest of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in the verse of fasting, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, in order for you to achieve piety, in order for you to fear Allah, in order for you to obtain a taqwa. So there are a number of benefits from fasting, and wisdoms behind the legislation and the law of fasting. And from the greatest of them is that a person he will humble himself in compliance and obedience to the command of Allah. That a person, he will humble himself in compliance and in obedience to the command of Allah, and he will prohibit his soul from that which it's accustomed to, and he will prohibit his soul from that which it desires and it lusts for, seeking the reward and the pleasure of Allah. Seeking the reward and the pleasure of Allah. So this is from the greatest wisdoms and the greatest means or the greatest reasons for the legislation of fasting, that a person, he will bow down to the command of Allah, and he will humble himself before Allah submissively, and he will attach his heart to Allah with love and hope and fear. With love and hope and fear. And so therefore fasting performed in this manner is from the greatest means to actualize the taqwa and to strengthen the faith and to strengthen the relationship and the bond and the love of Allah Azza wa Jalla in the heart of a person, and to strengthen likewise the reality of a person being able to remember Allah and being able to not be negligent or to be heedless or to be forgetful. It will increase him in muraqabah. Maraqaba is whenever a person, he remembers that Allah sees him. Al-Maraqaba is whenever a person in his mind, in his heart, he reflects and he remembers that Allah sees him, that Allah hears him, that Allah knows what he's doing and what he's performing, and that he's going to go back to Allah and he's going to be held accountable for his statements and actions. So this is called Maraqaba. So this is something that fasting cultivates in the heart. It cultivates in the heart. Again, because a person, he is able to eat and drink as he likes, and he could deceive the people easily. But this is something that's a secret between him and Allah Azza wa Jal. So maybe he's dying of thirst. Maybe he's very hungry. Maybe he has fallen weak. Maybe he's one of those people who work out in the heat in the daytime, and he's having a difficult time in his fast, and his soul is calling him to take a drink, just one sip. Or his soul is calling him just to take a bite. There's the sweets over here that look very delicious, and he's weak in this manner like this. And the only thing that will stop him from that is that he remembers that Allah can see him. Is that he remembers that Allah is watching him. He remembers that Allah can see him. He remembers now that it's not allowed. He remembers that this is something forbidden. So therefore he will forbid himself. He will forbid himself out of fear of Allah. Out of fear of Allah, knowing that although the people cannot see him, the Lord of the people can see him. So fasting cultivates this in the heart. Fasting cultivates this in the heart. This is from the greatest means to cultivate this muraqabah and the taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal in the heart, to fast and to leave one's food and drink in the legislative manner, seeking the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, it's a means to cultivate the soul in fighting the devil, and fighting the desires, and fighting oneself, mujahadat al-nafs, wa mujahadat al-hawa wa shaytan, to cultivate the ability that a person, he will not always be defeated. Any self-defeat. Some people are overcome by self-defeat. Their souls get over on them daily. Their souls get over on them daily, taking advantage of them and causing them to fall into disobedience with their eyes, with their hands, or financially. And they fight their soul, but they can't get a hold of their soul, and their soul is loose in charge of them. And the likes like this. But by fasting, this obligatory fast is cultivating the ability. And it's slowly a means to train the person to check his soul, that he will have control of his soul and his soul will not control him. Because the soul is either going to be under control or it's going to be controlling the person. And this is the reality of the soul. It would either take control of an individual and run him through the world and run him through misguidance and run him through the sins and through the avenues of foulness and evil, and he's seeking to please oneself, or a person, he will check his soul. One or the other is going to happen. Or a person is going to check his soul. Or he's going to be battling back and forth. And this is the case down in this life. So by fasting, the obligatory fast, especially even the non-obligatory fast, this is a means to learn how to check one's soul and to have control of oneself. And to do that, seeking the reward of Allah Azza wa Jal. These are some of the personal benefits that a person, he will find from fasting. But likewise as well, the people of knowledge, they mention a collective benefit or a communal benefit, that one will see in society, a social benefit. And that is that all of the believers, they are all together and unified. They're all together and unified upon one action of worship that's performed all at the same time. The strong and the weak and the old and the young and the wealthy and the poor and the lofty in status and rank and the lowly, all of them are unified together at one time. At one time, all upon one action of worship, seeking the pleasure of one Lord. So from the social benefits of fasting is that all of the believers, they're united and gathered together upon this one action of worship at one time. The rich and the poor and those who have a high status in society and those who are lesser than that, all of them, they are united in this manner, fasting for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, following the way of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. All of them are united, all of them, all through the lands, wherever they may be, all of them in the morning time before Fajr, they're taking the Suhoor, following the Sunnah of their Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, fasting throughout the day, taking on the challenges of the heat and the troubles and the hardship and the difficulties of fasting, remembering Allah and hoping for His mercy and remembering their sins and repenting to Allah, cooperating together, helping one another, preparing food to serve for the people to fast and to facilitate for the people and giving in charity. And in this manner, their hearts, they become united, and the bonds of brotherhood, they become strong, and their souls become close by the favor of Allah Azza wa Jal, yani from this great action of worship. And many of the actions of worship, they're like this, in this manner. legislated to bring about unity and to bring about love in the hearts of the believers. And from that, the fast, the obligation of fasting the month of Ramadan, all of the believers, they're united upon this way, fasting and leaving their food and their drink, seeking the reward from Allah Azza wa Jal. Something that is very beneficial to ponder, to reflect upon, to see the greatness of Islam and the benefits that come from that, and the unity that it brings to the hearts of the believers whenever it's implemented and applied properly. Whenever it is implemented and applied properly, whenever a person, he applies the religion sincerely in his life, and his life truthfully for the sake of Allah, doing his best to abide by those commandments, then this will bring about strength in brotherhood and strength in faith, and it will bring about a strong connection, yani between the people. Also, fasting in general has other benefits as well. Yani it has health benefits. It has health benefits, yani in a person's health, which is well known. It's beneficial for the stomach. It's beneficial for the body. Yani to fast, and it's known. The people of knowledge, they mentioned that al-ma'ida baytu al-da, that the stomach is the home of disease, and the majority of the diseases, they come from, yani from the stomach. A person become sick because of food. Much of the diseases that we see today, they come about because of having too much food or not having the right diet. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned many times that the best cure for the diseases is al-himya. Wal-himya khayru dawa. And to go on a diet and to regulate one's food is from the best manners to cure the diseases that one finds in his body. Al-himya tu ra'su ad-dawa. Ra'su ad-dawa. So there are many benefits in fasting in general. These are some of them that the people of knowledge, they have mentioned. As for the fast of the month of Ramadan, then no doubt this is something, again, that is major. It's a pillar from the pillars of Islam. And Ramadan is known as Shahru al-Siyam. It's the month of fasting. And it's also known as Shahru al-Qiyam. It's the month of standing. And it's also known as Shahru al-Qur'an. And it's the month of Qur'an. And it's also known as Shahru al-Sabr. And it's the month of patience. And month of striving and seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. Shahru dhikrillahi Azza wa Jal. It's the month of the remembrance of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Shahru al-Salah. Also, it's the month of praying, establishing the prayer, especially in the masajid. And it's very important for the believers now. No doubt they have obligations in the lands, and the masajid here in our society are far and wide. And so sometimes a person in his daily obligations, he may not be near the masjid. So it's not easy or facilitated for him to pray the five daily prayers in the masjid for many people because of the situation that we live in. But in Ramadan, a believer, he should try to make some changes in his schedule, make some sacrifices in his schedule, so that he can try to be in the house of Allah as much as possible. And at least in the morning time and the evening time, if not anything else, at least for the Fajr prayer and for the Maghrib and the Isha prayer and the Taraweeh and the likes like this. And he will try to facilitate that and make some sacrifices in his daily schedule in order to attend the houses of Allah Azza wa Jal, especially in Ramadan. And because many times after the prayer, there are reminders and there are benefits that will be mentioned, and also maybe there are classes or gatherings when the brothers are sitting together reviewing the knowledge and the likes. And all of this is a great means to benefit in these days and to increase in faith. After this, the author, he mentioned the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, clarifying the issues with regards to the entrance of the month of Ramadan, which is the obligatory fast, and how that will be established, and some rules and regulations with regards to that. بإذن الله تعالى, we take this in the class tomorrow. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.